los ojos para ver lo que está.
Everybody vamos, put up your manos. Members of Tante, Unero, Chicanos, Latinos en los Estados Unidos. Don't care if you're Ricans or even Cubanos. Look at the coaches. We have more common, don't let them divide. These suckers are vultures. Either we standing together or better be standing aside. Now is the time, don't know about you, but I'm gonna ride. We gotta climb, fight for your basement. Where was your pride? Where were the gunners that you got inside? Look how our ancestors came to this country. They tried to be living the American dream. Don't throw it away, they promised you money and got you raging for the machine. Pick a new team, you flesh your talism, but that is a system that you wanna bring. You need to think, we gotta fight communism, cause it look like we on the brink. Connect all the links, a one party system is taking the power from all of the people. We need to seek. When will you listen? These people are evil and want you to seek. So what is your plan? Hand in hand, we're standing together, cause this is what never to do what you can. Please understand, we gotta do better, so walk us, remember that we took a stand. Escúchame. 24 es el año, si se puede. Lucha, lucha por la libertad. Órale, vamos.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Latino Free Minds, episode 62. Another episode of Know Your Candidate. This time around, we're going to the general election, right?
Yes, sir.
We got a lot of people in. We try to get as many people as possible before the primaries, which I feel, you know, we did quite a few, so that was kind of cool. And now, you know, now it's on to the next round, right?
The
championship round, if you will. So for this episode, we have Patrick Lee Gibson running for state assembly in District 40. Patrick, how you doing?
I'm doing good, brother. It's I'm glad and humbled to be on your show and to let people know that, you know, there is a choice, there is hope that we can turn things around, and because this is our home. California is our home, and we have to save it, and we can't save it if we don't do anything about it. So that's what we're doing here.
Yeah, that's true. That's what we
you're on here.
But that's the thing, right? That are you guys hearing the echo, or is it just me?
No, that you had a little bit of an audio issue right now, but you cut in and cut out. Other than that, you sound fine.
Oh, give me 1 second. I feel like I'm all right. I think I fixed it. Sorry, that was my fault. But yeah, you're right. You know, a lot of people are fed up, right? And yeah. There's a lot of people that are rising up and saying enough is enough and putting their name in the ring, so to speak. And we've talked to a lot of great candidates that have felt exactly the same way. Right.
Right.
And, you know, it's good to see all you guys doing what you're doing. It's good to see the we were talking about a little bit before we came on, just the results overall. And this is something Danny mentioned too in the last episode, is how close these numbers were compared to, you know, a few years ago, where you kind of knew in a sense, like, oh man, there was no chance, right? You still wouldn't quit, but you'd kind of feel like, oh, there's not that much of a chance. Right. And this time around, it's very encouraging to see the numbers and where they are.
It's good to see. I agree completely, because when the people, I mean, you have to see something to believe it. A lot of people, that's how they are, you know, so their faith is a little bit different. And so when people see it, that's, you know, probably majority of people, they get encouraged. And that's what we need. We need it to encourage voters, our people, and that's all of California. Like for me, I'm a mixed race. I'm Irish Mexican. You know, so I grew up being called Güero all day long. You know, grandma's like, ven aquí, Güero, let's go. You know, so I'm like, that was me, you know, but it's good to have encouragement. You're correct.
Yeah. And we've been talking about that throughout, you know, how long has it been since the beginning of the year?
Yeah.
About the local elections and just people. You told us that, you know, this is the first time running, and obviously you're encouraged by the type of support that you're receiving, and you know, the people that actually went out and voted, and we showed the graphic where you're up at the moment. And what do you attribute that to? You know, you saying that it's the first time running, to me, it, you know, I started thinking, you're not very well known in the political sector, So what do you attribute these results that we're seeing right now?
Well, I think I'll give you a few things what I believe is for the results. Obviously, we are in a different time and place than 2 years ago. So I did run before. So I did run against Adam Schiff in 22. So I have a little bit of name recognition, but not like I do now. It's much better. And it's a ballot title. That helps out a lot because people, they see, you know, retired deputy sheriff. They're like, oh, okay, this guy, you know, he went through the ringer. He served time and he was part of the community, you know, helping it out. So I think a lot of people see that, especially with people and especially with crime, how it is right now. Crime is out of control. You got smashing grass, there are people's houses being broken into, cars being stolen. I mean, it's not like it was 10 years ago. It's like an epidemic, you know. They said, you know, epidemic this three years ago, but this is our new epidemic, and it's just a crime wave that, and there's where there's no consequences. So yeah, if you're a criminal, it's like it's open season, you know. So those are some of the things I believe that are coming out right now, where people are just kind of like they've had enough, you know. Like I'm not getting the representation. I'm seeing homeless all over the place, but yet I see that, you know, you guys say there's, you know, housing for everybody, but no one's going in there, you know, and they're still building more homes and houses for, you know, all the homeless and stuff that are going on right now. But that's all changing because we have an open border. Now those housings are going to illegal immigrants. You know, I think they call them undocumented workers now or something like that. But according to the law says they are illegal immigrants entering this country illegally, which is still a crime. So I think there's a lot of issues going on right now. It's not a housing issue. It's a drug addiction issue for the homeless, at least. And it's a mental health issue. And I was out in the streets and I seen all of that stuff. I'd asked them personally, why you're out here? Because the drugs are here. And I can't do that in a facility or a house because they're going to kick me out. Those aren't part of the rules. So I stay out here. I'm closer to my drug and they have to have it. They will steal, beg, kill, and, you know, sell themselves, you know, just to get that drug. And I talked to one lady who had come off. She made over $2 million in 1 year selling herself because she had to have the drug. So there's obviously, you know, there's a way for them, you know, that in their brain, they're saying, yeah, this is my motivation. It's a great motivation, but it's flawed completely because it's destroying their body, destroying neighborhoods, and, you know, just society itself. It's bad. And then obviously the fentanyl dealers, you got meth dealers out there, and I've seen them, you know, time and time again, you know, in the jails. I worked in the jails, and these guys, you know, they don't care about them. They know that they're making money off of these guys, and that's their bread and butter right there. So if they're out in the streets, they're okay with that, you know. So my cousin, I'll tell you, almost two years ago now, she died in a homeless encampment tent in Hollywood with a needle up her arm, and she died of a fentanyl overdose. And we didn't know where she was at until we got the call. That's, you know, where they found her dead in a tent. So for me, it's personal. I'm not somebody who was, you know, I grew up extremely poor. We were homeless at one point growing up as a family. So, you know, there's a lot that, you know, my family and I've been through, you know, growing up. So I'm not, you know, silver spoon. I didn't go to private schools. I went to Sylmar High, you know, I went education just like everybody else. But, I think when, again, like you said, when you've had enough and this is not the way that I grew up here in San Fernando Valley and Santa Clarita, it, you know, it's scary to let your kids go outside. You know, I can't do that, you know.
Yeah.
And knowing all the evilness that's out there on the streets, I've seen them in the jails and they have no reservation of committing those crimes against your family or mine. So, you know, it's a lot. But these are some of the reasons that I'm running. It's not, you know, I'm not running to become famous. I'm not trying to be a politician, but I have to do this because if I don't do it, I have to leave this to my kids, and I can't leave this to my kids in this way. And if, you know, if I didn't do it and step up, then, you know, shame on me. And, yeah, you know, that's one of the things that I can't live with. If that's a, you know, it's just impossible.
Yeah, you said something very key. You said it's personal. And I think at this point, you know, kind of like to summarize what we were talking about in the beginning, I think it's gotten to the point where a lot of people are saying that now, just, you know, citizens, it's personal now. This is affecting us current time right now, our wallet, our families, morals, mm-hmm. education, yeah. you name it, you know, from the top of the list to the bottom of the list. But what you said right now is that we have to leave it to our kids. And I think that's where we took it and we go, you know what? This is personal. I'm not going to stay home, you know, and not vote this time around. Granted, you know, everybody would like to see a lot more people go out and vote, but we had enough. Now it's encouragement. Now, when it comes to the general election, you know, there's going to be a little bit a wind under the sails, if you will, and people are going to have a little bit more motivation to go out there and vote and push you guys across the finish line now. So
yes,
it's awesome. Yeah.
Throw that right or left hook, whatever.
Yeah, a couple hooks, a couple kicks, a couple knees. We gotta get out there. Yeah.
And you know what you're saying, I think that's an awesome way to put it. You know, it is personal for everybody. But kind of what you were describing also was, you know, kind of we've been telling people vote your reality, which is, you know, when you go outside or what you see right outside of your home, what's going on when you're driving around your city, you know, how does it look, right? Does it look great? Is the economy great? Is food cheap? You know what I mean? Like all those things you were describing, it's like none of that's good at the moment.
Yeah.
So especially here in California, right? Like Danny said, we've been focusing a lot on local elections or, you know, stuff that's going to affect us and probably more immediate than the national stuff. You know, California has been run by Democrats for such a long time that, you know, things have not gotten better at all.
Yeah.
We used to live in the Bay Area in San Jose, you know, and every time we go back there, it's, you know, it looks horrible. And you know, same goes for many cities around here. And we've had enough because, like you said, when we grew up, it was a beautiful place. There's a lot of beautiful places you go visit. You go to San Francisco, you go to Santa Cruz, you know, and you go with your family and it'd be a nice time. But nowadays you drive through those areas and it's, you know, you want to get out of there as quickly as possible. So right.
It's like driving downtown LA. It's scary.
Yeah. It's something that, you know, they've had control for long enough now. And like what Danny said is the numbers look good. And going forward into November, we can see what's possible if we just show up.
Yeah. Yeah. And I believe that what you guys are doing, creating this platform for people to know that there's a way and that there's hope, and you guys put it out there, you know, and you guys are putting yourselves out there too, just like the rest of us who are running, you know, because I'm sure you guys are getting pushback, you know, you guys calling every name in the book. But that doesn't stop you, and that shouldn't stop anybody from, you know, standing up for themselves. Like I said, I have family, you know, especially my Latino side, they're hurting right now. You know, they're you know, if I have anything to give, I give. But it's like the gas, the food, the medical, everything is out of control. And how do we live like this? We can't, you know. So
unbelievable. Just this past weekend, my wife, she was going to get some medication, and they asked her if she had insurance, and she said, yeah, she's Kaiser, and then they were going to check and see if she would qualify for a discount for whatever this monitor was and the medicine, and they told her, oh, no discount. So she said, hey, you know what? I'm going to call back. I'm going to say that I don't have insurance, and I'm going to see what they tell me. So she called back, told them she didn't have insurance. Oh, yeah, it'll be ready for you to pick up at X location, and that's it. And wow. I started and then so, you know, nothing surprises us anymore, but that was just like a different level. Is like we pay medical insurance, it gets taken out every week, every pay period, and we're actually, you know, putting into the pot for, you know, everybody else to be able to benefit from that. And we get it, you know, it's taxes, it's what happens. And but not to receive benefits when we're the actual people that are, you know, buying into it, that's a whole different level of discouragement right there.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I seen a, I think a cartoon or someone drew something, whatever, on social media, where a U.S. veteran puts a sign behind his back, but he's crossing the border and he's, you know, gonna get free medical because you could get it right there. You don't have to wait, you know. Mm. And then you got housing, you got everything else. And this is, it's, they put it as a joke, but it's true. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, we are paying insurance. I paid insurance. My, you know, we pay insurance for all our kids. You know, it comes out of our pocket. But yeah, if you don't have any and you say, they'll take good care of you right there. Mm-hmm. You know, so where is the fairness? There's no fair stuff here because it's, I mean, man, it really pisses me off when I see that our hard earned money is going to those facilities and they're just giving it out for free, you know, because you can't afford it. Oh, okay, here you go. You know, so then why are we continuing to pay our bills, to, you know, to do all of those things? Because we don't want bad credit. You know, this is how we you know, we want to have good credit. We want to have, make sure everything's good. But that, I don't know, that system is going away under this regime. I call it a regime because mm-hmm. it's not life. You know, they're taking it away from us, the people who live here. So what are they trying to create? It's chaos. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, you know, because you see what they're about to pass, AB, just the recent one, AB 2031, where we would have to pay their illegal immigrants their attorney bills and everything else. And if you're a criminal, they, you know, they're still going to give it to you, too. They wanted to do that, you know, so it's kind of like, I mean, we had consequences. We had literal consequences. If and we were a kid, mm-hmm. My mom would drive by, you know, juvenile hall. We were bad. Hey, we're going to drop you off over here if you don't listen. I'm like, I'm listening, you mm-hmm. know, and, you know, obviously they weren't going to do that. But it's just one of those things that growing up, you have consequences. You did something wrong. You know, I did something wrong. I got the belt. You know, me and my brothers, yeah. we all lined up, you know, mm-hmm. and, you know, we understood that there's consequences for your actions. And then committing crimes, or if you were going to do that, you know, I have cousins who served in, you know, county jail, California prisons, because they didn't have that, I guess, upbringing, or that, you know, they were committing crimes. They were in, you know, gangs, you know, and they paid the price. You know, they had a consequence. Hard life, you
know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's kind of like the theme that we're getting, right? And I agree with you in saying that it's a regime because it doesn't make sense. But what right. I feel like we're living in the Twilight Zone. You know, if you're old enough, you know, you watch the Twilight Zone. But it's the gaslighting. You know, everybody has a different version of what gaslighting means. But you know, they're just gaslighting us with, you know, telling us this is fair, this is reality, this is right. the way that it should be, but things aren't matching up. They're not lining up. And I think that kind of takes that piece of taking it personal. Now it's like, okay, now you think I'm stupid. It's like, no, you know, now yeah, I'm going to put my ass up and I'm going to go vote you out. So
good. I mean, that's our right. That's our, you know, complete right as U.S. citizens. We have that ability to vote. And we have to protect it because obviously right now, I mean, from what I'm hearing and seeing, they're trying to get people to vote who are not even citizens. So that doesn't make sense, right? Mm-hmm. There's no common sense in that. And it's destroying our country. And I believe, honestly, it's being done on purpose. Yeah. Because if you're doing something like this and you don't see a consequence behind it, then that means they're destabilizing our country, you know, so that way they can continue to tell us what to do and force us to do, which is not an American value. Everyone has a freedom here in this country. And from what I see, we are losing those freedoms very fast, especially here in California.
Mm-hmm. I think that's why it's so important to show up and vote. You know what I mean? We've said it many times that, you know, we probably won't agree 100% with every candidate, right? We have to be, in a sense, realistic also. But not voting, it's like, well, if I agree with you, for example, 70% of all the things you're running on, but that 30%, you know, might be some important things, but we don't agree with it.
I mean, I'll take the 70% right now.
I'll take exactly. I'm taking 70% instead of zero.
Yeah, I hear you, and I agree with that too.
And it's you know, it sucks because, like I said, you know, people do want, you know, a candidate that they can agree with as much as possible. And I don't necessarily like looking at it as lesser two evils. I look at it more as there's always a better option. And, you know, taking a 100% loss is worse. So, yeah, you know, that's why it's so important to show up. And that's why I think we talk about it so much.
Yeah, you have to show up. I mean, just, we were taught, I mean, growing up, you know, we have responsibilities as a child, and say we're playing baseball, you know, t-ball or whatever. You know, the days that maybe you didn't want to play or whatever, you didn't have that option. His parents are like, okay, you don't have to go if you don't want to. No way. Get your butt over there and you're going to go. You know, you could be little snots and tears going on, but you played. And, and you know what?
It's one of those things where you signed up. Now your responsibilities is to show up and participate with the teammates that you made that commitment with, that coach. Right.
Yeah,
it's commitment. It's keeping those commitments too. It's responsibility.
Yeah, and it's also it's for our families. I'll tell you right now, because if you're going to be voting a certain way, think about it, right? If I vote for this or these type of, you know, this party or this party, what am I getting out of it? Am I going to get more money back in my pocket? Am I going to have an opportunity to own a business, create a business? Like a lot of immigrants come to this country. My wife is Armenian, and a lot of Armenians come out here and they open up businesses and they're successful because they took a risk. A lot of people who grow up here, they don't do that. You know, so they fall into the system, but you're able to do those things and create a business and make something. But what's happening now in our country, or especially California, is they're going to tax you, and then they're going to tax you, and then they're going to tax you again until it hurts, until, oh, well, what about my insurance? I have to pay insurance for my business. Triple, double, right? It's up. So how do you live? How do you contend with all those things? You know, people are like, I don't know how I'm going to make it. So what do? They leave. They go to Texas. They go to Arizona, Nevada. Oh, there's better opportunities. You know, wherever I can, you know, make a business, make a living, where California is not going to sit there and tax me because, you know, I could be using this money for, you know, to build my business. But California is taking it from a lot of us. And it's not right. You know, we need to have that turn back into our pockets to make sure we stimulate our economy, have, you know, people spending money. That's just how it works. But if you overtax people, they go, you know what, I'm out. I'm not doing this. And the insurance too high, I'm not going to deal with it. So, yeah.
Well, perfect segue into what Daniel and I were talking about before we came on is all the insurance companies that are pulling out of California, they're not signing, you know, new
policies.
Yeah. And, you know, homeowner, auto, everything. And those are all, speaking about consequences, bad policies. Department of Insurance will, you know, all the different people, politicians involved with that, because you know that there's politicians involved with the, you know, influencing all of those decisions. So we have these people that have no business sense, and they're playing with our money. And they don't have that sense of risk. They, you know, they just go out there and make bad policies. And look at what's happening now. You know, insurance is skyrocketing, like you said. Insurance companies are pulling out of California. And, you know, we need to make the correlation and see that the root cause is the way that my mind works is I go to root cause. And if you go to the root cause, it always goes back to the politicians. You know, we talk about that debate with Gavin Newsom, where he's just throwing out millions. We invest millions in this and invest millions in that. And it makes it sound like it's a good thing. But if you think about it, it's like, okay, so where's the good coming from spending all of these millions? Like, explain that to me.
Yeah, it's like he's like a big G gangster, man. Like, I'm spending this, I'm spending that. And then obviously we're looking, So we have a $73 billion deficit, and that sucker's going to grow even higher because they're not getting it. You know, how much more can we spend? Where's it coming from? First of all, obviously, it's coming from our taxes. And if they need more, what are they going to do? They're going to tax us more. And it doesn't work. You know, it does not work. And it's, you know, that's why they say Newsom's the best thing that ever happened to U-Haul, right? or Ryder.
Yeah.
Best thing that ever happened because he made their business thrive. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like, wow, I'm like, because people cannot take it anymore. So, yeah. I mean, if you're a college student, right, you just graduated, and where's your job? You're going to live at mom and dad's house for the next 20 years after that. And, you know, you're trying to get a job and do stuff here, but you're going to die with the taxes, especially schools. School's already expensive as it is. And how are you going to afford that? You know, where's our, you took autos. I took auto shop. I took wood shop. I took metal shop in high school. Those things are gone, you know? So having those skills they're not pressing those anymore, you know? And if you're going to learn those things, you could become an engineer, you know, all that stuff, but you could do that hands-on training. And I think a lot of that is going outside because they're taking that away and they're sending it to other countries. China's coming in and doing all the work for us. You know, they're getting paid this and that, but no one has that ability to do those things anymore. Unless you're, you know, around my age or older, or you grew up in a place like that where you know how to change your oil, you know how to change your tire. You know, those things are like, they're getting, you know, what is that? Like I can think of the word, but they're becoming a thing of the past.
Mm-hmm.
And,
rare.
You know, and we can't do that anymore. We have to start teaching our youngsters how to do these things, how to change a tire, a light bulb, even. You know what I mean? It's crazy.
Changing batteries.
Yes.
Oh my
gosh.
That is so true. That is so true. I'm in the automotive industry, and 100% that industry is dying. You know, the company that I work for created a mentorship program because of that. So it's pretty, it's a great idea. It's working, but just imagine a company had to create that program in order to bring in a whole new generation of skilled laborers like that.
Yep.
Because they're not out there. Yeah. That work ethic isn't there either.
Yeah. Hey, oh my gosh.
It goes back to the school system, you know.
They're focused on so many other dumb things right now.
No, but go ahead. Well, I guess if you don't need homework, they're trying to get rid of that, right? And then if you make it through graduation, I think they just let you graduate now or something. So especially with our California school. Let's go on that one, you know, with our scores in California, with our education, we're at the bottom. You know, mm-hmm. and they're mm-hmm. teaching everything else except for what's important, math, history, you know, finance, all of these things, you know, they're not getting it, you know. And so, you know, for me, let's bring it back over here. So, yeah, say if you're a legal, you know, immigrant coming in here, you get into the schools. Are they going to sit there and go, whoa, what is this? You know, or are they just going to take it and, you know, get brainwashed too? Because a lot of people come here from, obviously they're coming here for a reason, because they know in United States, there's a way to make money and do things here, but that we're turning into their countries. You know, we're turning into third world countries overnight. And if the government is going to go, well, no, you're still under our control, then why would they stay here? You know, I mean, obviously they're getting paid and stuff, and votes are going to come in, you know, that's what they're getting desperate. They're bringing them in, you know, for these votes, because I'm sure they're going to be voting. I'm sure some of them already voted, and it's going to continue. You know, it's not going to stop until, again, we say that's enough and we start taking care of business. But there has to be that launch pad where that this happens. You know, I mean, conservative people are not in that job to go, hey, I'm going to go out and risk my life for all of this right now until it knocks on their door. And it pulls them out. That's mm-hmm. when people start actually, you know, doing something. So I think we're almost there.
Yeah, I think so too. I agree with you. I would say I would venture to say that we are there.
Yeah,
you know, it's,
yeah.
I always say this, and so when I used to say this when we first started the podcast, I said it with confidence, but there was a tiny little bit of doubt, you know, that it was true. But I always said that we are the majority. It's just, and I heard this quote is, it's just that the fringe left is in control, and they're maintaining control. That's it. So, you know, obviously they're not representing us, but we are the majority. So now, you know, it's time to take the reins back, realize that we are the bosses. I remember back in school when they used to tell us, the teacher would point at us and he's like, and would say, you are the bosses. We are the bosses. We elect them. They represent us. They do what we want them to do. Mm-hmm. And in some, you know, I'm 46. I just turned 46. But sometime in between there in the school system, it got lost. Now it's, they make it seem in the language that they use is that as if we don't know what's best for us. They know what's best for us, and they're making the decision for us. So, yeah. You know, I know that the question to you right now is going to be obvious, you know, what the answer is going to be, but how is it that you're going to represent, you know, the people that go out and vote for you?
Well, obviously, it's, you know, we should all be in like mind at least, but the, as a representative in any elected official position, you have to listen, first of all, you know, so if you have your own agenda, you're not listening. So people actually want to be heard, you know, they, you know, this is going on right now. My, you know, taxes are a little high here. How do I do that? Or I need to get insurance. How do I do that? How do I get the medical stuff? They need a way. They need like someone to guide them there. And you have to make those things where they're there, of course, but you also have to remember that, you know, we have to have education, I think, on a lot of this stuff. Mm-hmm. Because if people, you know, they're asking for this. Okay, well, this is how we get this. There's a, you know, here's my, one of the things, I'll have a plan. So this is the way how we do this. This is how we stop homelessness, right? We need, obviously, we need drug rehab centers. And it can't be, drug rehab centers can't be just by choice. I'll go today and I'll check myself out tomorrow. And you don't have that choice. When you're addicted to drugs, you're stealing from your family, you're stealing from yourself, and obviously anybody else you could steal from. So you need to be locked down and, you know, and healed, you know, mm-hmm. with time and getting you off of those drugs, because you cannot make a decision on your own. The drug is making the decision. And then on top of that, we need mental health facilities to deal with this as well, because they're always dual diagnosed, the drugs, and then there's some type of mental issue. And I worked in a mental hospital, a dual diagnosed hospital, and I seen it firsthand. Before I was, you know, worked in the sheriff's department, I worked there, and I learned, you know, there's a lot of people who fall into those cracks. Now that was, mind you, that's close to 30 years ago. But look where we're at now. This isn't, like I said, it's all over the streets. You see homeless everywhere, especially here in LA, and you're in San Francisco area. You're going to see them all over the place. And you wonder what we're doing to stop that, to save them. Because if we don't do anything to save them, we don't create programs to make sure we take them off the street, get rid of the dealers, give them consequences, let them go into jails, refurbished jails, because they're not doing it right now. They don't want to spend a dime in jails. You know, they should be, because from what I've seen working in county jail, I've seen the roof just water dripping out, and you're like, where's that water coming from? You know what? Mm-hmm. I and at time I'm like, I didn't even want to know, because I'm sure it wasn't from somewhere good. You know, and there's people falling in it. You know, it's dismal for what they're doing. They're not spending a dime on it, because obviously I think, you know, they want to let everybody out as it is. And then on top of that, you got victims. So we have a long road, but there's a way that I'm going to make sure that people understand that I'll have programs set aside for homeless and drug addiction, take care of that. But, you know, it's not going to be where you have that choice, because if they break into your house, oh, well, you know, let's just let them go because, you know, they're not doing well. Yeah, they're not doing well. And neither am I now, or my cousins or my friends. You know, their house got broken into. Now they have broken windows, broken doors, and they have fear. Mm-hmm. Fear living in their homes, you know, like who's going to come, you know, they're like my friend's kids just right down the street, literally waiting for their dad to get home because they're afraid to be home alone without him. And that mm-hmm. is, you know, that's a reality, you know, like you say, vote your reality, vote mm-hmm. your reality, because if you're not seeing that, man, you're an ostrich and your head's in the sand right now. And, you know, we really need. If you're going to, I mean, honestly, if Democrats, the ones that are in our legislature, were to turn around and start doing the right thing, people would be like, oh, no, I'm voting for that guy. I'm voting for that girl, you know, mm-hmm. but they're not doing it. So mm-hmm. people, I say to you, wake up, vote your reality. Seriously, we need to do that.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's 100%, you know, exactly how you described it is like, that's the message we feel like everybody needs to hear, because it's got to be relatable, right? And yeah. like you said, if the kids are at home, and, you know, and they're scared in their home, you know, where you're supposed to feel at least the most, you know, protected, you got your doors, you know, locked, to be afraid in your own home, like that should speak volumes, right? And I'm sure it's not just them. There's a lot of people in this state that are, you know, afraid to be outside, be in their home. You know, we can't, the state makes it hard for people to, or they try to make it hard for people to even, you know, buy a gun or carry or, you know, exercise their Second Amendment. But, you know, they're not doing anything about it, like you said. So, you know, as citizens, what are we to do? Do we just, we can't just let it slide anymore.
Right. Yeah, we can't. I hear you, man. It's that whole mentality growing up, you know, where the bully at the school or whatever was picking on you. And, you know, if you didn't fight back or you didn't do anything to push back, it was never going to stop, you know, and you were always going to be bullied by that kid. Mm-hmm. You know, I had my twin brother. I'm a twin, identical twin. And, you know, we were always together growing up, you know, but there are times where, you know, he wasn't around and here comes a bully. I was like, no, you know, I have to fight back. You know, I was a pretty fast little kid. I could run, but, you know, I wasn't, and I couldn't stand it. You know, I guess that was because I'm the oldest out of five. Mm-hmm. And for me to, you know, sit there and go, oh yeah, I'm sorry. Let him beat on me for a little bit. I was like, no, we were raised with, you know, I was raised in a Latino family. So if we had cousins who would pick on you, and you know, that's your first
bully, part of it.
Yeah. You know, so yeah, we learned early, fight back, because if you didn't, and it wasn't gonna stop, you know,
it would get worse.
Yeah, it would get worse.
Yeah,
we're mean to each other.
No, and then you got that Irish and Mexican blood in you. It's like,
yeah,
you know. But you know, just continuing to talk about safety. Is you know, you said earlier, it seems like all of this stuff is happening on purpose, and we talk about, you know, manipulating our emotions, you know, with media, politics, entertainment, you know, everything around us basically. And one of the things, everybody's heard this before, is divide and conquer, right? So, you know, we think, like, we could think back to our childhood and families were tight, and I remember family members used to bicker, you know, talk smack, you know, they weren't happy with each other, but the following weekend they would still get together, barbecue, you know, and still be like a tight unit, you know, as a family. And right now, one of the things that we have to be able to identify is that that's exactly what they want. They want us divided. So we've got to, you know, be smarter, and know that that's exactly what they want, and not allow that to happen.
Yeah, I agree. And then I think a lot of it is, you know, like what you're saying is they're dividing us and they're making us become dependent on the government. And a lot of people, I'm deserving of this. This is money I should be getting. I'm like, you know what I was told when I was a kid? when you're 18, you know, I don't know if you guys heard it too, you're out of the house and you're going to go work, you know? So I remember hearing all that stuff, you know, about 18, 19. Yes, I was out of the house. I wanted to leave. I wanted to start my own life. You know, I didn't, you know, need mom and dad to, you know, continue, you know, doing those things. There's nothing wrong with staying home. And, you know, especially 18, 19, you don't know anything yet, but, you know, obviously, you know, you have I was born in 72. So I grew up in the 70s, 80s, right? And one of the things is like, you know, they want you to grow up and be something. They, you know, there was not like, oh, you're going to grow up, you're going to do nothing, you're going to be a drug addict. That was never the issue. You know, I had grandfather, my grandpa Acosta. So he was in the, Korean War. Right. Korean War. He was born in, I think he was born in Ontario, California, but first language Spanish, of course, you know, on my mom's side, they all have first language Spanish. But, you know, he served his country, you know, and he lost his eye. He lost part of his stuff, but that never stopped him, you know, from doing those things and, you know, continuing his family, supporting them. Just like my other grandfather, he was in World War II. You know, they had that sense of pride in their country, you know, where, you know, you stood up, you put your hand over your right hand over your heart, and you said the Pledge of Allegiance, you know. And I remember seeing my grandfather, both of them, you know, they would have tears in their eye because they fought for this country. And obviously I never made it to the military, but I served in the sheriff's department. And basically that was a war in itself. You know, there's, you know, getting out in the streets and trying to, you know, push back, you know, the chaos that we, you know, that's presented every day, but at least we had, you know, an ability to take that bad guy to jail. He had consequences, and that's not what we have today, you know. And that's huge, because if people want to further this madness, then they're going to continue to vote. And I don't know why they keep doing it. You know, it's going to blow up, you know, it's like that balloon. We tell you not to keep blowing it up. It's going to pop, but and they keep putting stuff in it and it explodes. And they wonder, oh, what happened? Why did this happen? You're like, you were told, you know, that this was going to happen. And I think a lot of people, obviously, hopefully, God willing, are waking up to this and going, hey, This is not right. You know, I may be middle of the road, but I'm not over there with these guys. You know, mm-hmm. I'm here. I know I have a business. I have family. You know, like you said before, Danny, right? Like you said before, I may not agree with everything that you say, you know, but if I could agree with at least 70% of what you're saying, then we could work together, you know. And that's one of the things, is working together and solving these problems and making it where, you know, hey, we all have a choice, right? We all have some type of choice here, but I want to have that ability to have that choice to make, you know, to tell my kids, hey, look, this is not what we believe in. And you'll stay out of that one. Mm-hmm. You need a choice. If they're going to say, you know, you need to do the Pledge of Allegiance to the LGBT flag, you know, my kid's going to go, no, I'm not doing that, you know, mm-hmm. because my dad says, no. Okay, you shouldn't have to force somebody to do something, right? Mm-hmm. Forcing somebody to do something in this country, that doesn't sit in my mind, because we live in a country where you're supposed to have that freedom mm-hmm. of speech, freedom to, you know, go wherever you want pretty much, and freedom to arm yourself, because our forefathers seen that hundreds of years ago. And they knew from there, because it happened before. That's why they left that country or wherever they left, because they needed to start a fresh, new freedom. And obviously people forget long enough. They forget what freedom is and why we're here. So, yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's something that we've always talked about, too, is that it might sound like a conspiracy theory or, you know, whatever, there's a lot of conspiracy theories that turned out to be facts, well, the majority of them anyways, but you know, I believe that their end game is getting rid of the Constitution. That I think that's, you know, impeding what they ultimately want is all the power and control.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. You know, We had another guest and he kind of made a comment that rings true, is that they already have taken our rights away. I mean, you know, in a way, yes, they have. You know, they're not following law and order, number one. You know, they keep up coming with bills where they're taking our right to bear arms, you know, amongst other things, you know, freedom of speech. So I don't know if you would agree with that, but I feel like that's what their end game is.
You know, you're not wrong. It's not a conspiracy theory. It's reality. You know, I mean, if they're taking, was it Portantino? All right. Thank God he's not going to be in politics anymore. You know, whew, you know, Alex Balekian beat him. Mm-hmm. And that guy wanted to, or I think he put out legislation where we're going to be taxed every year for every firearm we own. And that is a straight attack on our Second Amendment. And people go, well, Second Amendment, that was for, you know, hunting and all. No, it's not. It's not meant for that. It's to defend yourself from a tyrannical government, right?
Yeah.
And if you don't have the ability to defend yourself, then you're always going to be a victim. You know, so Second Amendment is very important. I teach firearms.
You're always gonna get bullied.
What's that?
You're always going to get bullied.
They'll bully you all day long.
But you were saying about your firearms?
Yeah. So I, you know, I'm a firearms instructor. You know, I haven't really, you know, I've been a firearms instructor for a while now. And it's important, you know, that people understand that, you know, if you have that ability to learn how to use a firearm, it's they call it the great equalizer, right? Mm-hmm. Because you could be 5 foot nothing, 4 foot 10, and you could have some guy who's 6 foot 10. Doesn't matter. You know, if you can carry something that equals the playing field, then you're not a victim anymore. You're actually somebody who can defend themselves and their family or just their own life, you know?
What was Winchester's slogan? Is that God didn't create men equal, but Winchester made them equal or something like that?
Pretty much. I mean, it's you know, back in the old days, you had to learn a skill to use a sword, right? You know, that was, you know, then here comes your musket. You had to learn how to use that. They learn how to use that. And then, you know, nowadays we have our firearms today. It's like, it's a no-brainer. It's easy stuff to use, obviously with safety minded and, you know, so you don't hurt yourself or your family, but it should be available, you know, especially you have to wait in LA County months to a year just to get your CCW, which you should have anyway, because that's your Second Amendment right. So we have to go through a government, a state government, to have the ability to have and practice our Second Amendment, which the Constitution freely gives to us. Then you're right. These guys are, you know, they want to get rid of the Constitution. Why would they want a Constitution that promotes freedom and you know, ability to be free? And if someone steps on your toes and wants to take it away, ability to take your freedom back. Right. So, yeah, I'm right there with you guys.
Yeah. And that's the thing, too. It's like when a lot of people, you know, forget the importance of freedoms or take them for granted, and they're not seeing, right? The reality is we're not as free as we claim to be.
Right.
We're in a free country, but, you know, how free are we? We have all these laws that impede on a lot of our constitutional rights. We can't communicate through, you know, social media right now is like the main form of communication. We can't communicate if we say something that they don't like. You know what I mean? How free are we if we're constantly getting taxed? And if we didn't pay enough of our money, they tax us some more. So
penalties.
You know, people got to realize that, you know, we should be a free country, free people that are represented by a government that's keeping us free. And the reality is it's...
Well, that's upholding the Constitution, right?
Yeah. And they haven't done that at all.
Well, they had a great, well, the other side, I'll say, the side who's taking away our freedoms, they came in and they infiltrated. Just like any war or any battle, you're going to have infiltrators. and they took over our educational system. They took the kids first, right? Mm-hmm. And yeah, obviously you look at the playbook for Marx, you know, Marxist book playbook. I can't remember the exact name of it, but that's all in there, right? Everything is in there, how to destabilize a country, to divide and conquer. And that's what they did. They came into the schools and said, okay, now we're going to do this. We're going to do this. And they succeeded. But now, obviously, you've seen Glendale Unified School District. You've seen mm-hmm. them push back and a lot of stuff. I mean, they're still fighting. You know, they're trying to get into these positions and, you know, from, you know, getting votes and stuff, because that's the only way to really, well, you know, the way our government says, that's the only way to get in and take over is to get those elected positions. And that's why, obviously, I'm running for this, because I wasn't going to run for just because, you know, it's like, well, man, we're already being attacked. You know, we had COVID mandates and all that stuff where you are losing your freedom. Kids were at home getting depressed, killing themselves. And you had, I mean, you cannot, it's like, what is it called that? When you're staying indoors, it's like, what do they call that? I can't remember the name of it.
Isolation,
where they had a nickname for it or something. But you're indoors all day long. You're going to go crazy. You know, it's like, well, we can't leave here. We can't do this. People need to be around other people. We're not built that way.
Interact. Yeah.
Yeah. They call it cabin fever. There you go.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, so they call it cabin fever. So you get that cabin fever, you're in there forever. You're gonna get out some way or another. And that's what happened. A lot of people just, they lost it. And that's just another way how they kept us in check, staying home. I mean, you had churches closing down, right? And then you have pastors going, no, 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 we're staying open. So they paid the price. Some went to jail, they paid heavy fines. And it's kind of like, how do you control people? And they did it. They did it with fear. So if people need to understand, is we need to learn from all those past mistakes. We need to know that fear, we can overcome that. You know, you cannot be afraid to go outside and do this or that, because ultimately, if you willingly give up your freedoms because, oh, I'm afraid, then they got you, right? Yeah. And if they did it without, you know, you raising a fuss or anything else, then they're like, hey, it worked. Let's do it again. You know, so if there's a creature of habits, we're creatures of habit, mm-hmm. and we're going to fall into that. And they know that. And so they're going to go, oh, well, here comes the next one. Here comes the next one. Until we go, no, 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 I'm done with that. You know, we have to stand up, fight for your freedoms. Don't let them do this stuff anymore, because you know, we already know that pathway. We cannot travel down that way again. You know, no matter what, you know, they say, you know, well, you need to wear this to go outside. You need to wear this bracelet now so we know where you're at in case something happens. I think they did that in China, right? There's no freedom there, right? Mm-hmm. So are they turning us into China? Absolutely. You know,
you just made a great point, is that, you know, we're creatures of habit, right? But at the same time, we also look at our surroundings. And we look for everybody else's reaction. Some are leaders, and they just go. They follow their instinct, and they just go. But there's a lot of people that look for leadership before they can take that first step. Yeah. And I think in tying it back, you know, to the beginning of the conversation as to why you're running, is we talk about the fighters, right? Mm-hmm. You know, we need people that are going out there with the fighter spirit and representing us, right? And it's kind of like what you said earlier. You know, I remember years ago hearing people debate about the Second Amendment, and they talk about hunting and, you know, we need it for hunting, we need it for this. It's like, no, don't sugarcoat it. Say it, because it, you know, we have to be strong in the sense that if a tyrannical government, you know, opposes us, you know, we can defend ourselves, right? Just say it. Don't sugarcoat it. And that's what a fighter would do, is just say, like you said it earlier, and not try to make it sound politically correct, you know, for the left or, you know, the other people that you might get offended. It's just say it the way that it is. If they call you a conspiracy theorist or whatever it is, you can't let that hold you back. And at the same time, you know, talking about the elections and things that we're seeing right now and the results that we just got, is that because of those fighters that stood up and are saying things the way that they should be said now, now people are taking that first step and following you, following mm-hmm. the other representatives that have the same morals that you're representing.
Yeah, you're right. Right. They just need that first step, and we're taking that first step, and they go, "Oh, well, he did it. I could do it too." You know, so it's infectious.
And if you keep saying the words that we're saying right now too, is don't be afraid. Say, if you're in a conversation and you're talking about the Second Amendment, just blurt it out. Just say it. Don't use the word hunting. It's to defend ourselves against a tyrannical government, period. Yeah. Because it does happen. People go, that would never happen in the United States. It. Come on now. Look at what has happened.
Say never, right?
Mm-mm. Never say never. Yeah. Exactly. I mean, that was well said.
I don't know. I'm a realist when it comes to this stuff. You know, I pay attention, like you say, pay attention to your surroundings. Pay attention to what's going on. And if you can't see it, then, man, you know, you're blinder than blind. And and God willing, you know, I pray for people to wake up, you know, and a lot of people, you know, they need God too. You know, we have to look at that. You know, they may not, they're like, you could be atheist. Like I said, you have a choice. My belief is in God. And the reason why I'm here is he put me here, you know, and I'm going to do the job. I'm going to, you know, get down and dirty. You know, votes are coming in, whatever. I don't care. You know, I'm going to continue to, you know, live the way I live, and I'm not going to step down. I'm not going to sit there and be a politician where, you know, I have to say the right words or, oh, you know, did I say the wrong word? And I didn't mean to hurt your feelings. You know what? Everyone grew up a certain way. So how can I know that you need to be talked to this way? You know, I'm like, how do I, then you're like, you're making it where you're becoming, you know, something that you're not. When you follow someone else's rules, you follow someone else's idealism and not your own, then that's where it starts. You know, so you have to be yourself.
The sad part is they want you to respect whatever, you know, feelings and offenses that they take, but they don't respect ours. That's for damn sure.
Yeah, not at all.
It's one of those things where, you know, growing up, I used to be one of those people that is like, what's fair is fair, you know? And as you get older, you know, you have to kind of be fluid and navigate through that lens. But at the end of the day, if you keep that same principle, what's fair is fair, is like, you're going to hold me accountable for what comes out of my mouth. I'm going to hold you accountable for what comes out of your mouth, too, at the same time. And that kind of comes back to that fighting spirit, is like, man, and that whole bully example that we've been giving, is that they've been bullying us for so damn long. It's like, when are we going to stand up and go, wait a minute, you know, it ends here, you know, a good straight to the nose, a good jab or something, you know, just to
punch him in the mouth.
That'll wake him up. Yeah. Punch him in the nose, something. You know what? I'll stand with you guys any day. You know, I see patriots in front of me, and I know that a lot of other people watching here are patriots too. And that doesn't mean, you know, we're, you know, patriots, we're going to, you know, have, what is that flag? I don't know, whatever that flag they have the General Lee flag, whatever. Yeah. I don't care about that. It's like, stand up for your rights, you know, stand up with other people who are like-minded and take back what's ours, you know, and that's our freedom. We have to take it back. No joke.
Yeah. And that's why I feel the unity is so important, you know, that the more united we are, the louder we get, right? Because that's one thing too. It's like the crazy people have been the loudest, and
they always are.
They always are, right? And to Danny's point, it's you know we feel that we are the majority, but you know, I've always said, well, it's not time to be the silent majority anymore. You know, time for holding your tongue and being quiet and kind of just letting it go. That time passed, you know.
Yeah.
Especially when I think a lot of people, you know, you guys were talking about earlier, is like, have we gotten to that point or not? And it's like, I think so, because, you know, a lot of people's lines is their kids, and they've more than crossed that line. So it's time for as a parent, as a father, mother, that you gotta speak up now, because we've let it go for far too long, and you know, look where we're at. But you know, we're also able to wake up and realize, okay, enough is enough. And if we unite, if parents unite, you know, people with their representatives unite, which should be, you know, super important, you know, they're not going to run over us no more.
Yeah. And I think you're right. That's happening already. From the numbers that we've been seeing, California is starting to wake up. And we've seen that with a lot of the votes coming in, especially with my race. No one expected these numbers. First of all, they did not expect me to get even that close. Yeah. You know, they said, oh, you're going to, you know, it's my opponent's race to win. Or, you know, if my predecessor before her, the one that's in there now, Suzette Valadares, you know, they said if she couldn't win, no one could win, you know, that seat back, you know. And this proves everybody who thought, it proves them wrong. Mm-hmm. And that means we made a difference. We, you know, and that's across the aisle. That means Republicans, Democrats, no party preference. They went, hey, you know what? I'm going to vote for this guy this time. You know, I like him, you know, and I like his message, you know, and don't be afraid. If you didn't do it this time, you know, we need your help the next time, which is in November. So mm-hmm. we really got, you know, we got a lot to do, but this is, you know, this is where the battle is. Yeah. You know, if well, you're not, you know, gonna, yeah.
You were talking about your faith in God, right?
And oh, yeah.
I'm actually doing the Bible in a year.
Okay.
And, it's awesome because, I mean, you really get in depth, you know, as far as the Bible goes and all the verses and, you know, all the books. Amen. And I wrote this one down. And right now that we're talking about it, it just resonates so much. So, so it's when Moses was leading everybody back to the homeland, right? After they wandered the 40 years, right? So, and you know how God said that Moses wasn't going to go back into that land because he didn't obey. So he told him to write a song. And in this song, it basically says that he allowed his people to make the choices so that they could see that it wasn't the right choice at the end, but God was still going to be there. So that's, you know, that's the message from the songs. And I go, and it hit me because, you know, I was listening to it on Sunday. And I go, isn't that crazy that maybe he's allowing us to see what the other side, you know, I don't want to say evil side or anything like that. Let's just call it the other side is wanting to do. And we willingly chose that. And he gave us that. Now right. We're seeing the results of it. And now we know it's not what's best for us. So now it's time to, you know, recognize and make the difference and go in the right path now.
Yeah, I hear that. And that's actually that's us right now. Mm-hmm. You know, that's us right now. So, yeah, that's a great verse. Great part of the, you know, there's so many things in the Bible and people just like they think it's just a man wrote it, whatever. No, man, it's too much. You know, if when you go through that thing and you have that experience and you sit back and you go, man, it's just hits you like a ton of bricks. And you're like, we're here now. And obviously we go through a lot of the same things that the Israelites did back in those days. And they didn't listen to God. And, you know, he led them into the forest for, you know, 40 years or whatever in the wilderness. And all right, you'll wake up eventually. And that's what happens, you know. So, yeah, I like that. You know, I mean, you have to have the word. The word is, it feeds you, you know, feeds your spirit, and our spirit needs to be fed for sure.
You know, we talked, I don't know what episode, Daniel, we talked about it too, is that, you know, everything that Hollywood comes out with is, it seems like it's Antichrist or, you know, it's just, they have the complete wrong message behind it. And then, you know, they make TV series or movies that have to do with, you know, God and faith, and they do so well. And then they have record, you know, breaking numbers. And if you haven't asked yourself this, ask yourself this right now, is that why don't they make more of those TV series, movies, since they do so well? There's gotta be a reason why they don't do it.
Yeah, And I think you probably know what it is. You know, they don't need people to hear hope. They don't need people to hear, that there's a way, you know, through this madness and chaos. You know, they want fear. They want hopelessness. And a lot of movies are like that. They don't even bring up God in Hollywood. You know who God is in Hollywood? There's themselves. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they can solve the problem, any problem. You know, it just let me do it. I can do it. Well, obviously, you know, we know from the history that if we don't have, you know, God in our lives or something like that, well, we will be reminded. And I think that's kind of currently what we're going through right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They feel the void, right? Because we talked about it before. If you don't have God in your life or, you know, the sense of belief, yeah, there's a void in you. I think that's naturally we're supposed to be drawn to God. And when you don't, and when you're not, you're an atheist or whatever it is that you feel you believe, you know, you start worshiping other things, right? Hollywood, you know, celebrities, you start, you know, these movements, whether it's the LGBTQ or whether it's climate change, you start, those kind of things start filling that void because you want some kind of purpose. And, you know, most of us are, you know, we're here to live for God, spread his message. Yeah. And, you know, hopefully when it's all said and done, we're up there with him. Exactly. And, yeah, you know we have that purpose that drives us to be, in a sense, you know, we have our flaws, but to be good people, to not be hurting other people, to not be, you know, evil or whatever, however you want to call it, right? We're trying to get by, live our lives, raise our families, and, you know, just build every generation as much as we can. And, you know, the end goal is to be up there with him. So, yeah, they remove all that, right? They remove all that. They throw all kinds of other things at you to have you distracted. And, you know, it sucks, but, you know, we have to find a way to navigate through it because there are certain things that maybe we shouldn't waste our time on, and the certain things that are important that they've made us feel like doesn't matter.
Right. Yeah, so, I think we're getting hijacked left and right, you know, and when they start hijacking our beliefs and they're making us go to an extremes, I mean, I'll tell you right now, not all LGBTQ or LGBT whatever, they're not all that way. They were also hijacked as well, you know? Mm-hmm. They never had problems like that, you know? It's until that extreme side came out, you know? Man, I have family members who are, you know, gay, lesbian, and we love them just the same. But mm-hmm. it's not like it, you know, what it is now. You know, that's just, like I said, we're all of us getting hijacked to some degree. Yeah. You know, in churches, you know, you're hearing a whole bunch of other stuff that, well, that's not in the Bible. Why are we doing that? You know, it's everywhere. So we do have a choice. God gave us a choice to believe in how we want to. You could believe in him all day long. And he said, you can also not believe in you. You know, he's okay with that too, I guess he said. But he doesn't want you in the middle going lukewarm. And that's one of the things. Mm-hmm. You have to be one way or another. But if you're in the middle and you're just stagnant, then it doesn't help anybody, you know? So believe and be that person. Great. You know, there's mm-hmm. honor in that, you know? And I think a lot of Christians need to stand up for that because they've been so meek, you know? It's like, no, I'm sorry. I'm a Christian. I, you know, there used to be that song, you know, we sung it in Bible. I'm actually last Sunday at church, you know, Onward Christian Soldier, right? And where is that Christian soldier now, right? I mean, I see some in front of me, but, you know, we need to, as men, stand up for that, stand up for our beliefs and our culture, because that's our culture they're attacking. You cannot attack my culture and just, I'm going to sit there and turn my head and you can walk all over me. You know, I don't think we're raised to be that way, you know.
Yeah, you're right. We're getting hit from all angles. And going back to what we said earlier, it's just to divide. So, you know, the challenge for everybody is don't allow that to happen, you know, recognize it, go out and vote, vote for Patrick, make a change, you know, if everything goes well, we'll have a lot of representation with the fighting spirit that will represent us. So mm-hmm. I don't know. Daniel knows this, but I always look at the optimist side of things. So, you know, I want to end this, you know, on a positive note. You know, a lot of the times the news coverage, obviously they will always want to present the negative side of things to us. But, you know, we're up here in Northern California, but what I've been pointing out is that, like in Long Beach, for example, you know, they were the first ones that said that, you know, they're not going to have any type of mandates or anything like that or do any type of shutdowns. Very encouraging. Protests marching out in Hollywood, of all people, of all places, different places in LA. So if that's happening there and the people are raising up and they're taking, you know, time out of their days on their weekend to go out and protest, man, there's good stuff happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. You know, we have to, there's always a positive to this whole thing. And, you know, when people wake up and they get their freedoms back and they see, hey, I don't have to do this, it's encouraging. You know, again, we need your votes. Of course we need your votes, but we need you to stand up, and not just stand up. We need you to use your voice, tell other people, you know, there's change. You could do this. You don't have to, there is hope. You know, again, there's those people, those like, oh, my vote doesn't matter. And they're, you know, they're going to cheat anyway. I'm like, your vote matters, man. You know, don't let that psyop, you know, run your world, you know, get out there, vote, because we just had a huge voter turnout that was in the dumps. Right. Mm-hmm. So we had we had such a low voter turnout. And it's amazing that, you know, the people just don't get up. They don't care. Their ballots are probably returned. They probably threw them away. You know, like, I don't have time for this, you know. So we really need people here that are, you know, families, and they believe that, you know, they're getting charged too much. Then I need you all to stand up right now. And November's coming fast, and we just had the primary, but man, November's going to come like tomorrow. And if you guys aren't, they don't have that message and no one told them, then shame on us. But that's my job and my family's job. You know, we're taking a lot of our time and energy to do this, and we're not getting paid anything to do this, you know, but what the payment is, my kids' future, that they have one, and your kids, you know, that's ultimately where I want to, you know, leave this with people. There is hope. You know, whoever runs for governor one day, maybe I'll do that. You know, maybe somebody else will do it. But I want to make sure people understand that we're fighters. We're not going to stop. You know, we're not those type of people. And we're going to continue and continue and continue until, you know, we wake up enough people, which I think we're doing, where we know, like, hey, yeah, this is the right way to do things. Yeah, maybe that other way wasn't right for us, but this is encouraging. Because now I could do things that I couldn't do before. And, you know, if people want to own a home, stop taxing them so much in the first place. And let's get people ability to afford a house in the first place. Stop taking all their money, you know, and where's it going? It's not going to me or you. It's, you know, it's going to someone else's pocket, and they're making money. So people need to understand. So some people tell me that taxes are good. You know, it helps with our, you know, get things and, you know, things moving. Yeah, okay, taxes are good because it helps pay law enforcement, judges, all those other things. We need those things, but not overly done where it's like you're sitting there going, man, I'm depressed. Why? Oh, because I have to pay taxes and my kids need braces, or, you know, I can't pay my rent. But if I don't pay my taxes, you know, the government's going to come after me, you know.
Well, let's think about it in this terms, right? Is that, okay, we're paying all those positions that you just mentioned with our tax dollars, but yet there's enough money in millions and billions to go somewhere else. Think about that. Think about that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely right. Yeah, I hear you. And we need to make sure that when one of us gets in, and we will get in, you know, we have to hold them accountable. And we have to open those books. We have to look through all of them and go, hey, that's not right. You know, you're stealing from us. And we have to put them on the coals and say, hey, you know, there's consequences for this. Right? You're taking from the people, and we can't do that anymore. We have to actually put it to where it's needed. You know, so we went over a lot of that already, but yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready for that change, you know, and just,
we are too,
just do it.
Yeah. Do it. Yeah. You know, I can't wait to see you, Denise, Nick, and Michelle sworn in and just in there fighting for everybody, you know.
From that, your lips to God's ears, brother. Yes.
Let's go.
We complain about time going by so fast, but I can't wait for November, man. You know, I don't want it to get here because, you know, time just goes by too fast anyways.
Yeah.
But, you know, I really can't wait until you guys get that opportunity to get someone in there that is really going to represent the people.
Well, I get in. My office is open to you guys anytime. You know, so that's how it has to be. You know, you have to be available. So, yeah, absolutely.
Well, Patrick, we appreciate you taking time and coming on, you know, to talk to us about, you know, what's motivated you to run, to represent the people. And, you know, it's a great conversation, and we're happy to see that, you know, you got great numbers in this primary, and we're hoping, like Danny said, right, for November, you know, you're able to duplicate that or make it even better, right? So, because that's the thing, right? Every vote matters, right? Because even if it's by one, you won. You know what I mean?
That's right.
So, you know, thank you for coming on, and you know, hopefully, maybe before November, we'll have you back on again just to kind of, you know, touch up everything.
Yeah, I'd be honored to. You guys are right there, man, and I'm glad that we have you guys doing this and putting and letting other people know there's great candidates out there who support our, you know, our way of life, which is, you know, freedom, basically. Mm-hmm. You know, we could do things and not, you know, be afraid. So yeah,
I appreciate it. We kind of like that. The freedom part is, that's pretty freedom's cool.
That's out on the shirt. Freedom's good, you know.
Freedom is cool.
There you go.
What does Peter's hat say? I think it says legalized freedom. Something like that.
Ooh, that was
Peter Hernandez's hat. So
that's a good
one. I need to get one of those. I told him I was going to buy one, but
I like that one.
But thank you, and you know, everybody that tuned in, we appreciate your guys' time. And like Danny said, you know, Patrick will probably agree with this. Vote for Patrick.
Yeah, I think so. Thank you, guys.
All right, then, everybody. Thank you for your time, and we'll catch you on the next one.
You will, for sure. Thank you, guys.
Good night.